Welcome back to More Than Friends. I'm Diane, your host, and this is the second part of my conversation with Kiara and Emma, where we'll be talking about their roles as educators and how theatre helped them find a sense of belonging. Happy listening. That's really incredible, because as you're saying, you've got that linking of theatre and community and raising awareness. And I wanted to have you both on the podcast because you work in the theatre space and in the education space. And those are two areas that I'm really passionate about. So I'm really curious to know how you guys kind of take all this experience into the classroom with your students, and you guys both teach drama, how you kind of use that to help these kids learn how to express themselves. Doesn't matter if they're gay, straight, whatever. It's not about their sexuality, but tapping into that side of themselves where they learn to express themselves and not try and fit into a box. Doesn't matter what it is, what the box is, what the label on the box is, but for them to just learn the tools to express themselves.
I'm a full-time teacher, so I and I'm part-time. So I've come across quite a few instances as well that directly hit, the community. But where my first year, I remember one of my very few lessons, my very first ones, and I was like sitting down in a circle, and we were going to do Peter Pan, the musical. And this student, I couldn't quite work out what gender, raised their hand and was like, Miss, can girls play boys' roles? I said, absolutely. I said, I've played boys' roles. I said, I've been principal boy and I loved it. It's great fun. I said, in fact, in Panto, it's a very important tradition. I said, but even that aside, if you'd like to audition for a boy role, I said, you are more than welcome to, and this goes vice versa. Yes. And I went straight to the counsellor. I said, I know I'm walking in, I'm new here. I mean, it's a school I grew up in, but I just want to let you know that I'm that kind of teacher. I said, I will never discourage my children, my students, from being who they want to be. If this girl, she wants to play a boy role, I am going to encourage her. I am not going to get a knock on my door and say, make sure she plays. That's not allowed. I'm telling you from now. I said, because I'll just turn around and just walk out from now. I said, drama encourages them to be whoever they want to be. Anything goes. Anything goes. You know, and I really kept that as a real strong strand in my lessons. And I always challenge the kids. If they're creating families, mommy, daddy, and the two children. I don't make things complicated for them by saying, you can have two daddies or anything of the sort. I play it more like, you don't have to have a mommy and a daddy. And I leave it at that. Of course. And then somebody would say, you can even have one mommy and you don't even have a daddy. And then sometimes you can have two mommies. You know? I was like, that child is going to cause us trouble. I was like, yes, you can, sweetheart. Absolutely right. And we move on. So it's. I always allow a space at the beginning of the lesson to talk. We have circle time and we just get everything out if there's anything that's on their mind. I put in some things that are happening around the world here and there. We discuss them because those are always really on their mind. And I let them ask questions. And sometimes they say things, Miss, I have a stupid question. No stupid questions in drama. Let's just go with it, guys. Just ask whatever you want, you know? And I'm just trying to encourage them for the 4 years I see them to just try different things. Move in different ways. You know, we have parts where we need boys to read for girls lines because we don't have enough, and they'll be like, I don't mind, and they realize within 2 seconds how okay it is. But then you have those that are like, Miss, I'm really feeling uncomfortable reading these lines. Okay, no problem. Would you rather take a break? Yes, I'd rather just watch. Okay, that's how I am. So if you tell me that's not perhaps curriculum, whatever, but I think I've achieved a lot. They've come such a long way, the students, with themselves and the in that space. A lot of teachers have said how they see the kids in such a different light because you push them. You're pushing them out of their comfort zone. They don't have time to be too shy. And I get emails from parents going, I can't believe my daughter said her lines on stage. I can't believe. I said, listen, I said, I didn't realize your daughter was shy. She's like, oh my God, she's like really, really shy. I was like, well, not in my class. Like, you know what I mean? Because you just see all these different characters coming out. I would also like to be that teacher that they come to when they are sad about something and they're not too sure who to talk to about it. I'd like to be that teacher. I'd like to have my door open. And I've had situations where children be like, Miss, do you mind if I just hang out with you this break? You know, I'm like, sure, help me correct. No, I'm joking.
From my end, I teach part time, so it's a little bit different because I see these kids for one hour a week. I don't have the contact Kiara has. I can't check up on them the way she does. But that 1 hour a week is so important for these kids because it's a space away from their school, which not everybody has a Miss Kiara. I'm not saying that not all teachers are doing their best, but it is not always as easy for them in their schools. And it's not always, doesn't have anything to do with the teachers sometimes. Sometimes it's just the environment that the other students create. And we get a lot of kids who are struggling at school, but then in that 1 hour, actually it would be 3 hours because it would be split between different disciplines, but they would come in and you can tell for them it's a safe space and a relief to be there within a lesson, because it's still a lesson at the end of the day. We still have a lesson plan to follow, but they are not within the confines of the school and that they attend and the children they have to spend all those hours a day with. And I've had many instances with students, and I mean one in particular this year, which was probably the most important one for me in terms of how to deal with these situations. But I did have a student who, from the first minute I stepped into the room, asked me to be called a different name than that they had on the roster. And I panicked as to how the other kids would deal with it, not because of myself, but I said, okay, wait, I'm going to have to deal with a situation here. Now, these kids are older than the ones Kiara teaches. These are 14, 15-year-olds, so it's a little bit different. But I heard this, and I had that moment of panic, like, how am I going to explain this to the other children? And the student just said, if you could please call me by this name, that is my preferred name. And obviously I was just like, yes, okay. But I quickly scanned the room to see what the other kids were saying or doing or the way they were looking at each other. And nobody batted an eyelid. It was literally just the most normal thing for them. And for the entire year, everybody called the student by that name. Nobody ever said the wrong name, nobody ever misgendered them. It was just so easy for them. And that was really eye-opening for me because obviously I look back to when I was their age, when I was 15, you know, 15 years ago. And I think this would have been so different. This would have been an incredibly different situation. And they would have, like, I just think back to my cohort. I mean, we grew up using the term how gay when we thought something was silly.
Yeah.
You know, myself included, I used to use it. And that is the kind of mentality we had, and we wouldn't be as accepting. And I do remember kids who weren't out at the time at school, but eventually they did, and, you know, the signs were there, and, you know, they would be bullied. And I think now there's a much bigger level of acceptance, and I think it's quite amazing. And I think that there's a real progression in the way kids are coming up these days, and it's clearly from what they consume. I mean, Netflix, when you think of what's showing on Netflix and YouTube and TikTok, and you know, we have series like Heartstopper, you know, that, you know, and they're watching it and it's completely normal to them. Like when I think back to our time,
oh my god,
like, there was L Word at 11 o'clock
oh
at night,
god.
And I felt I was
watching it.
I would quickly change the channel,
and like, I feel like it was a massive sin, you know, like, we're watching this.
Exactly, it was like all this internalized homophobia we had, and do not watch L Word because it meant something else.
But yeah, to be honest, when you look at the L Word vis-a-vis Heartstopper, or Heartstopper is such a sweet, it's
catering
so
for a very
pure,
different age group as well, you know. It's teenage, you know, a little teenage drama. I mean, at points, even I was feeling it was a bit too young for me.
Yes. Not as, you know.
but I had to watch it because as well, I feel it's important for me to watch these things because I will use them in class with the kids. They're very aware of other people and all the possibilities and different relationships and different lifestyles people
cool,
follow,
you know?
It is, and it's all, and you know, it's almost now, it's so easy for them, and I'm not envious, but it's just amazing, like, because it was not like that in our time, and it was such a big decision to make, and now people can just go in and out of it really quickly, and 1 second they're dating a girl and 1 second they're dating a guy, and nobody cares.
An 11-year-old student was like, not to me, to another teacher, she's like, Miss, I'm gay and this is my girlfriend. I was like, when this teacher told me, I was like, wow. I would have never had the courage, even if she was gay for a minute and in a relationship with that girl for this period of time only, I would have never had the confidence and security to say, I'm gay. Like, yeah. For me, it was always a big word because it's...
Especially to a teacher.
And to a teacher in front of a class. So like, I am envious of the bravery of these children, just like I was envious of Emma. Look how quickly she, like... It's incredible as we are going forward, our kids, and this is fantastic. I mean, I have 5 nephews and nieces. I hope that if there's anything that they need to say, they can consult, I don't know, social media for some tips, like, mm-hmm. and people have their stories everywhere that they can, and they don't have to struggle to.
Yeah, but I think when we were growing up, we didn't have the vocabulary, no. We didn't have the tools. It was all just... very much like the L word and the G word.
Yeah.
It was a lot harder to find information as well. Before, you know, you have to go into the dark corners of YouTube or Tumblr to like find anything that was relevant to being gay. And now it's just like you watch one video of a queer couple talking about their life and your TikTok is flooded with videos of a similar nature. So the information is being fed to you, which is great because you don't have to go looking for it anymore. And it's just, it makes it feel so normal so fast, you know, and you just, okay, this, you know, there are all these couples just living a normal life, having kids, adopting, getting married, and you just...
And as a consequence, our parents, who are even further behind, are learning the language as well. In a sense, learning the... Like, I find my father, he's just so wonderful. And I wonder that if I told him about myself way back when I was still a bit unsure, I don't know if I would have gotten the same reaction, just because maybe back then I wasn't sure. Maybe he would have challenged me a little bit on it. I'm not sure. But today, he wears it so proudly. Like, he introduces, always very keen to introduce Emma's my daughter's partner. This is Emma, my daughter's partner. And he's so wonderful. So it's really nice to see that if you get the children, if you get to the children and you make it okay for the children to understand, if you talk about it in school, if you talk about different kinds of families, if you talk about it being okay to be yourself, if you talk about homosexuality, if you talk about homophobia and hate crimes, talk about it. Don't make it taboo. If you make it taboo, then we are stuck. We want acceptance at the end of the day, and we want our children to feel that they are accepted no matter what.
You mentioned the word acceptance, and recently, actually during one of the consultation meetings we had of Teatr Talmiskin, this whole topic came up, you know, the use of the word acceptance and how that is not our end goal. Oh, we don't want
to
be...
I got it wrong. Delete.
No, I'm just because it's something I never thought of, you know, as well. Like, I always say,
okay... You always want to be accepted.
Yes, like, you want to be accepted, but, you know, we are not working towards that being our end goal. We're working towards it. We no longer require the acceptance of people. It just becomes normal.
But
like,
isn't it on everything?
Everybody.
But isn't it on? I'm sorry, I'm really just, I need to have a moment.
No,
here.
As in,
I need to have a domestic.
I'm on the fence about this argument, but it really set me thinking. Like, why are we seeking people's acceptance?
No, that makes us lesser. I get you, but at the same time, everything we do, whether we want to call it by a different name, it's all about acceptance. It is in everything we do. When you say something, when you like what I'm wearing, these questions are because you want people around you to have an opinion, a good opinion of you, no? And you want to feel like you fit in. I mean, I love not fitting in. That was always my goal. I love being the odd one out and the different one. But I don't know. I feel like this is a conversation for tomorrow's coffee, yeah, in the morning.
I think something that you touched on, where we go online and we find all this content that helps us accept ourselves and gives us this reflection of how we feel or seeing another side to being gay. It's not, I'm going to go get a buzz cut, I'm going to become a cat lady, you can do that if you want to do that, but it's stripping away all the stereotypes and just being like, if I want to have a family, I can have a family. That is a possibility. If I want to get married in a white poofy dress, I can. If I want to get married in a black suit, I can. That difference between acceptance and an embrace of it is what I see is missing here, because all that content is abroad. It's all out of the local context.
And that's why I think we seek it so much, because I don't feel like we have much of it locally. So not just representation from local influencers is what I mean to say, but rather up until a few years ago, I didn't have many gay friends. So even that was, it was something I was missing, especially actually, to be honest, like female couples with only recently in the past couple of years, I think we have like a couple that we hang out with and stuff. So it was that as well, that for me, that's why these foreign influencers, if you want to call them that, are so important, because I was watching the lives of these people and it was something I was not seeing in my day-to-day life. I think they're extremely important and I owe a lot to them, because a lot of the acceptance I have for myself, I will still use that word, is coming from them, because I just saw them, you know, buying a house, having kids, having pets together. And I'm just like, why am I not seeing this?
In fact, I think that is for me, you've touched on a very important point there, Ms. Mamakani.
Thank you.
The self-acceptance, more than anything else. I think for me, it was always a self-acceptance. And then, you know, where you're in a situation where you realize that the person doesn't accept themselves, that's a greater problem than their fear of not being accepted by other people. Mm-hmm. Because if you accept yourself, then you say, listen, no matter what you're going to say to me, it's just, this is it, this is who I am. As in, you can take it or leave it. Obviously, you have to be in a situation where you're comfortable to do that. But can I just go to that little story of the theatre we were working in? It's just talking about acceptance, this word that apparently I shall never use again. We were working on a production. And actually, Emma was working on this production. And I popped in to help. It was the first day, get-in day, set-up day. And one of these rough men who worked at the theatre lives up above, you know, with the ropes and whatever.
Lovely guy. We love him very much.
He saw me and someone, Emma, and apparently you can tell that people are a couple just by looking at them. And he's like, I never met him in my life, right? So this was the first time. He's like, Isma. I had maybe started speaking to him a bit there. You know how I try to joke with the builders and all of these people. Like, you know, I try to my best to make conversations and Emma makes fun of me. And he told me, Isma. Ali, Yina. In the night. At Lushish. Ali Li Edin Flimkin. I said Tayyip, I said Kulhatiaf. Ali Yina, okay, all right, Mayin Bishnain Lekli Yina, Nahdem Makulhat. I was like, wow. Thank you so much for accepting me in your theatre. Leina Bishnain Lekli Yina Liskun. Nahdem Makulhat. Jinan hop nisaw kol, eh? Tluwa ma dikxa ħaġa ħra, ġvin. Jinan hop nisaw kol, imma anyway. Bizzuwa xajin, imma nħob nisa. Għatlu, okay, moving on. But it's for them. Okay, acceptance. But it was a big deal that this guy wanted to tell me that he was okay with us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's stupid. I mean, I didn't need his acceptance. I didn't need anyone to, you know, I just want people to be respectful, full stop. You don't have to agree with what, I don't care, you know. It's just, if he said, you know, ma naħdem ix ma' kulħadd, I really have no problem, you know what I mean? I would still stay. But it was just from that generation. It was a big step. It must have been a big step, because maybe he comes from a background where it doesn't, acceptance is not.
Yeah, something must have happened to him to make him feel compelled.
Yes.
He must have seen something where he was like, no, I want to draw a line and make sure that everyone's open.
Yeah, I mean, I think we experienced something similar as well. I think when we came out to our grandparents as well, like, my grandmother, when my mother actually told her, because my mother went on a bit of a rampage and told everyone herself before I had the chance to decide for myself if I wanted to let them know just yet. So yeah, she had told my grandparents, her parents, and one of the first times I went over after this, my grandmother pulled me to the side and she's like, so she's like, mommy told me about Chiara. I'm like, aha, obviously I knew. And I'm like, she's like, she's a special friend, isn't she? I'm like, yes, you know. She's like, I too had a special friend.
Oh, wow.
And in that moment, I wasn't quite sure if my grandmother like came out to me or if it was just, you know, she just totally misunderstood what me and Chiara were. But, you know, it's just these funny ways that people just want to make you feel like it's okay and they have no issue with it, which I guess can be charming at times, and you know, you take it for what it is, but it does bring out certain phrases from people that you just wouldn't be expecting.
Yeah. Yes, in fact, my nana, in the monologue, I close off the monologue of Dust with what my nana said. And when she met Emma for the first time, she said, she stood up and she told her, someone has to call me nana, which we was like, beautiful. And then one time we were driving in the car and someone, she keeps her hand on my hand as on the gearbox, she used to. And Allura, who knows about you and Emma? I said, everyone now. The island men, everyone. So, okay. But, tasse pledita, for call, yes, nah, your friend, yes, she knows as well. Okay, okay. She said, but when you're in public, don't stay showing. I said, nah. I said, okay, I won't. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. So, because, nah, I won't, don't worry. I said, but even, no, on the crajoon. And the Krajun, in the, so she will be worried that I am going to be beaten. Mm-hmm. She's accepted it 100%. Because what is it? But by accepting it, we had Emma over and my relationship with her got stronger. My family was united. Well, I mean, you know, no more lying to her, none of that. It was completely, and I'm so glad that I had those last, I don't know, 7 years of Emma in my life with her. Emma got to know her and whatever. So that was amazing. But then she still has the fear. Mm-hmm. Emma, don't show it, is what she was trying to tell me, because then it's difficult. Your life is going to be difficult. She doesn't yet know that I can go down the street, hold Emma's hand, probably kiss her, and people are going to be like, you're blocking the way.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the biggest problem for previous generations and the older generations, that they still have the fear. They're not seeing what we're seeing. What we're seeing on YouTube, on TikTok, in our friend groups, they're not seeing it. So they're going to still have that fear. They're still going to have that little bit of brainwashing.
And bringing it back around to the kids. The kids don't have that fear anymore. The kids we teach, very few of them, I've seen that some still do, and it's generally stemming from their parents not being accepting. But there isn't a fear. They don't think twice about saying that, you know, they have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or that they want to identify a certain way. It's just that fear is completely stripped away, which is just amazing, you know? So we were like a midway, I think. There was a bit of uncertainty, but we were getting there. But now I just feel like...
They're amazing. Even yesterday, you know, we're filming some shots for the show. And there was a boy, a 16-year-old boy, who we needed to play the part of the Bobby character, to wear these pink shoes and walk through. Obviously, in between shots, we're walking to Valletta, he's wearing these shoes or whatever, and his parents are there. Mm-hmm. And he's there, and he's watching, and his you know, he's being feminine about it, and they were just like smiling, and I was like, wow, what beautiful parents this boy has. The fact that they were there supporting their son doing this, without even at the end of it was like, thank you so much for the opportunity, ciao bye, Matti. You know, and that is what we just need, because as Emma's saying, kids can have an open mind and can be really accepting with themselves, and then they go home and their parents say something like, yeah, and it's over.
Yeah,
it's, you've crushed them. Mm-hmm. And what that yeah will trickle down, and it will come out in the playground, it will come out in so many different ways. So we have to be really, really mindful that it might not be something you would enjoy doing, but don't put it on the kids. Like, just tell them, really? You would like, okay, they might grow out of it. They might just be experimenting. I've been in relationships with women who were with me and only me, and then went back to guys. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to put them in the box and panic. Oh my God, I'm not going to recognize them anymore. They're going to shave their hair. They're going to do all of these things. It's just an extension. It's just their outlet.
Thank you, guys. That was really, really interesting. And I'm sure that your message is going to go far and wide. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to More Than Friends. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on your platform of choice to get notified about our next episode. If you or someone you know is struggling with their sexuality, there's help out there. ARC, Richmond Foundation, and MGRM offer support services for people of all ages.